maybe you've never had to overcome this, but how many has ever had to come to the obstacles of others? Isn't that a constant in our life, overcoming others? Isn't that, you know, and that's not the greatest obstacle you're going to face. I'll talk about that next week. But others, man, we took Addie yesterday, our youngest granddaughter. She was by herself at home while the other kids was off doing something, or the other parents or what. And so she called and she said, "Nanny, will you take me to Chuck E. Cheese? I want to." She said, "Can we take her to?" I said, "Hey, you know what? She wants to go when the kids go on vacation and stuff." And she said, "I just want to go today, Nanny. Can I go?" And Nanny said, "Yes, you can go." Dealing with others, huh? So she just stole a part of our day, didn't she? Pretty easily, pretty handily. And here's one of the things I want to tell you the story, because when she got in our truck and we were headed over to Chuck E. Cheese, and I said, we started asking her about school. She started school this year, and she's going all day now. And so she was wondering if she made friends, and she said, "Yes, I have four friends. And the girl in the green shirt, she wears green every day, she is not my friend." Dealing with others, right? She said she came up and she pushed me in the back and then she laughed. "She is not my friend." How many's got people that push you and they are not your friend? There you go. Yeah, so that's the ones we're going to talk about today, you know. So get them on your mind. The ones that push you, the ones that push your buttons, the ones that give you a hard time. Maybe it's all your exes and Texas, whoever it is. Others. Here's what the Lord says about others. He said, you know, there's kind of two categories, basically, and you could break it down and add family in there. But he said, you know, there's two kinds, really. And he said, love your, what do you call them? Neighbors. He called them neighbors. How many knows we're all neighbors on this planet? We're global today, and we can look up a neighbor in Timbuktu in 15 seconds, you know, on the computer. And so, love your neighbor. And then he said, love your neighbor what? As you love yourself. Love yourself. So he called others, he refers to them as your neighbors. And then he refers to them as something else. He calls your enemies that push you, and they're not your friend. He calls them your enemies. Right? Your enemies. And what does he tell you about to do with your enemies? Love your enemies. Same process. It's same process for your neighbor as it is for your enemy. It's just more enjoyable for a friend, isn't it, to love them. But it's the same process. It doesn't change. And so God's made it pretty easy, hadn't he, about others. It's just that difficulty in all the details and their attitude and their personalities and all those sort of things get mixed up in there. And then it causes us problems on loving others. And so we're going to look at loving others today. And I'm going to do something a little different that I've never done before. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it'll be a flop. If it's good, I'll say, well, I might try that again. If it's a flop, I'll say, well, I'll never do that again. So, but anyway, we're going to try something a little different today that I've learned in getting my education. So, everybody got your sword and ready to learn today? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, want to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 1 through 4. That almost looks like on our big screen, overcoming others. The way to do that is just jump off a cliff or something, isn't it? Or maybe push them off a cliff. I'm not sure what that is. But that's a good job back there. Get our attention. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. In other words, if everything's going right in the Spirit, he says, do this, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. How many's ever figured out that sometimes others... The problem is, it's hard to be like-minded, isn't it? And it could be on a variety of situations and things. I am getting better at that, aren't you, as you get older? So, you know, you get better where, used to, I thought, you know, I had to straighten everyone out if I thought they were off theologically or morally or something. I thought that was my God-given call to walk this earth and straighten people out. and you know, that wasn't like-minded, that didn't think like I did, believe like I did. Because I've got, you know, I've got truth. You know, I've got the truth here. I know the truth, and I'm trying to help you get free. And so that's my attitude for many years, just to be honest with you. That was my calling, you know, as pastor and a minister and things. So, but I've learned that there's a part in the Bible, he said, and they're talking about ignorant people. He said, you know, those that are ignorant, let them be ignorant still. That just brought great comfort to me. And I'm sure some of you dealing with me have used that before. Just let Pastor be ignorant still. You know, he's hard-headed and he wants to argue and he likes to debate. So I'm sure you've used it with me. But it helped me to realize that, you know what, it's not my plot or your plot to change everybody. How many knows the most hard one to change is you? That's what we're going to look at next week, overcoming the obstacles. Because Thelma, she already guessed it in our Bible study. I said, next week we're going to look at, or this Sunday we're going to look at overcoming others. And that's a hard obstacle sometimes, but that's not the hardest. And she said, it's self. And so, you know, we're gonna look at that for all those achievers that just yell out the answer. I'll go ahead and give you the answer. Overcoming self. And that's one of our greatest obstacles, I believe, is overcoming yourself. Because if you can master this and this, well, you can have a good life. And that's the hardest thing, I believe, to overcome. So we'll look at that next week. But today, he says, if everything's right spiritually in your heart and mind, he said, I want you to fulfill my joy. Paul says, and this is a very giving church. This is a church that's compassionate and loving and supports missions very heavily. We like to quote, you know, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, if you want to do that, you know, this is to the Philippian church that's a good giving church that really gave sacrificially to missions and for the furtherance of the kingdom. So if you're going to quote that, make sure that part of your life is in order. In order to receive full impact from that verse we all like to quote. And it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. How many knows that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a very tall order. I don't care how, you know, you may have the gift of giving, and I know some of you do, and you can have the gift of giving. It doesn't matter how much money you have or not. I see people that have very little that have the gift of giving, and they're always meeting needs somehow. It's a gift. It's what they do. It's what they excel in. They're always meeting needs. And then some people I've seen is they have little or nothing, but they just know where to, I call it scrounge. You know, scrounge up whatever needs to be given to a family or someone in a situation. They just know where to look. And I think that's a great ministry, if that's your forte. But it says, fulfill my joy. You'll be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and one mind, let nothing, everybody say nothing. Nothing, see, that's where it gets us, isn't it? Nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. And this deals with ego, this deals with your personality, with your values, core values that you grew up with. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I mean, that's a difficult place to get to. Better than himself. He said it in the great commandment. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and then love your neighbor, what? As yourself. And then in Luke, he tells us, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We call it the golden rule. So that's a good way to look at it if you just stop and think. In any situation, if it was reversed, what would I want others to do unto me about this situation? You know, if you're mad at someone because they treated you wrong, well, what if you treated them wrong like that? How would you want them to treat you? You know, last week I told you about the lady I honked at the intersection that stopped, about got us all killed, and she showed her emotion and with hand gestures and all, and so I put myself in her position. She's already confused and not, you know, not knowing what to do. She's probably gawking and all. But anyway, I was wrong in honking at her. I flipped that around and said, what if that was me in a place that, you know, that I didn't know what I was supposed to do, and just all of a sudden I find myself there and I'm clogging up traffic, and would I want somebody laying on the horn to me, or would I want somebody interceding? So I made that adjustment based on me putting myself in her position. And I think that's the way God intended us to do. And I think that's why Jesus came. And Jesus, all of a sudden, he's seeing what others are like while you're in this flesh. And he had to deal with others all the time, didn't he? There was always other people giving Jesus a hard time. And so it was no different for him. And maybe that's why he sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us, because he thought, boy, living under that condition, that sinful state that man is in now, that's a tough deal. You know, when we leave this body and we shuck off this flesh and blood and we're not under this sin system anymore and we cross over to the other side, I think it's all going to change. And I don't believe we'll have the pressures. No more sickness, suffering, sorrow, no more grief. And all those things are going to be passed away. And we'll have a new robe of white and we'll sit with him and we'll ride horses and all that kind of stuff. He's coming back on a white horse. I put in an order for a buckskin. Go ahead and get your order in if you would. It's going to be different. I don't like horses. You say, well, then just tell him you want a motorcycle or whatever you want. You know, he's not a respecter of persons. But this is, you know, it's going to be different than the other system. But right now we're under this system where we all fail and have all of us have faults and flaws, and we're trying to deal with each other, aren't we? And so others is one of our greatest obstacles if we're not careful. Here's what I found out. If you get this and this right, others aren't near as difficult as they were. I know that's a tall order, and we'll talk about that next week. So get ready, okay? Prepare. Prepare. Kind of like the man that just woke up one morning. He said, you know, the world just stinks. And he said, everywhere I go, there's just a pitiful odor. Just the world just stinks anymore. And end of the week, he found out he combed his mustache and he had a piece of decayed bologna in his stash, you know. Some of us kind of do that in our heart. We get something in our heart and we just can't get it out. And the world just stinks. You know, if you're here and the world just stinks, basically, there's something in your heart. Man, I'm telling you, it's you, because God gave us a beautiful world. And he said, and then Jesus came because we could have life and that we could have it more abundantly. And so as God's children, we proclaim, say through the power of Christ, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he went through a lot, didn't he? 5 times he was beaten, 40 stripes, save one. He was in the ocean in a day and a half and shipwrecked and abandoned on an island. He was bitten by poisonous snakes and whipped and beaten and all these things, you know, stoned. He went through all that and he said, yet I'm not perplexed, you know, because I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me. And he enjoyed the times that he was. Remember in prison what he did? If others has treated you like Paul and they put him in prison, they beat him and laid his back open. They put him in stocks and bonds in prison, and he's there. And at midnight, he began to sing praises unto the Lord. Because here's what I've learned about others. Others can't stop you from praising God and at the appointed time and worshiping the Lord and finding that overpowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Others can't stop you from that. Only you can. So others, we deal with others, and it's difficult sometimes. And he says, but in lowliness of mind, let it esteem others better than themselves. And that's, you know, if you've got a problem with someone, he says, start esteeming them better than yourself. Because we don't want to do that, do we, when we have a problem with someone? Anybody ever want to esteem someone higher than yourself when you're having a problem with them? Where do we put them? We put them way down here. I can't believe they treat me. I can't believe they're like that. They're awful, I'll tell you. They push me in the back. They're not my friend. And I don't know, I've never been to the nursing home yet. But I'm sure in the nursing home there's people that's pushy in there. There's people that, you know, would just get on your nerves in there. I've visited the nursing home a lot, but I've never been in there. But you know, there's people that'll just worry you to death, wherever you are. So from kindergarten, from time we begin to understand, with nursery or wherever we're at, all the way until we jump over on the other side into eternity, we're going to have to deal with others. Here's a thought. Did you know that besides one teeny exception, the whole planet is made up of others? 7 billion, over 7 billion. Just one teeny tiny exception is made up of others. That's you. So maybe for us, some of us here, it's the people in Oklahoma City we deal with in traffic and work in our communities. Others. I pulled into my little donut store. I've been going there for a little while. I pulled up to the door this morning, and I always get one old-fashioned glazed donut. That's just my Sunday morning treat, you know, trying to keep it real. It's something that soothes my soul on Sunday mornings, and I'm coming to church and just meditating. And I pulled up this morning, and he opened the window, and I said, I'll have one old-fashioned, and he just pulled it out the window. already had it sacked up and ready to go. I said, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. So that's just a little treat, and it's just made my life easier every Sunday. Now I just go around the window, and he just, you know. I like those kind of others, don't you? Those are the kind of others we like to have. And, you know, the guy that sells me the donut every morning, I told Jan, I said, I think it aggravates him that I only get one. She said, no, because I get two, and it aggravates him too. So I don't know what his quota is. No, all I found out was with this other, it's not about how many. He just doesn't have a good people personality. It just seems like you're an aggravation when you come to the store and buy something. And I wish he wasn't like that. And this morning I saw him grin for the first time when I said, man, you're good. And I gave him a compliment and he grinned at me because he had one little donut stuck out there. I gave him a tip. Keep the change. I'm just saying, wherever we go, whether it's the window on Sunday or work tomorrow, I mean, there's going to be others there that's going to get along with you, and there's not. And he says, you know, if you want to deal with it, if you want to get in this love relationship and be of one mind and one accord, he said, put yourself below them. In other words, humble yourself. And it doesn't mean we have to be a doormat. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is we're going to humble ourselves and become servants for people. That's what Jesus came and did for us, wasn't he? He came to serve us. That's why people would throng him wherever he was, because they knew if you could get to this man, he was a servant. He humbled himself, the Son of the living God that should have been on the throne. He humbled himself and walked among us, and then he came and he served us. And one of the most humbling things and blessed things we can do is serve someone. I told Thelma this morning, I said, well, I got a good report on you. And she said, oh, what'd you get? And I said, well, this morning our prayer warriors, Jan, was talking about Thelma, the one-year anniversary of Cliff's passing away was the day that she served the Day family and their meal. And I said, that is really good stuff. And she said, oh, you don't know what a blessing it was for the Lord to provide me a place to serve on such a somber day. Isn't that good? That's growth right there, isn't it? That's where it's not about your day and what you're going through. It's about what you're giving away and what you're sowing. I told a group of teachers this week I talked to, and their superintendent principal, I said, here, let me give you a little phrase I use at Prayer of Faith. I said, this is what we say. The success of my day is not found in the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. That's good. I love that, isn't it? And I know I've quoted that a lot here, but you know that's it's just worth repeating. The success of my day is not dependent by the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. Because every day when we get up and we sow into others. I don't know next week if he'll grin at me again, but I sowed some good seeds. I honored him for something I had seen a breakthrough in, preparing my donut and handing it out. And I said, oh, you're good. And a grin appeared. So where's the others bothering you? What are they doing to you? What's going on? He says, just humble yourself and esteem them others better than yourself. In other words, there's something going on. When somebody's after you, just like the little girl that pushed Addie, there's something in her that says if I push, there's some kind of a reaction that evidently in the past that worked. And we're not much more mature, really, most of us, and when we get grown. We do things that we think worked once, and we'll use it to get a laugh or get attention or do something. And that's what we become. And now we don't know exactly what others think unless they tell us. And we don't really want to know, so we don't ask what others think. Then he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. Isn't that interesting? If you're going to get along and be one accord and one of mine and humble ourselves, he said, you know what, it comes down to what you do. And I just asked the question, how much did you invest and where did you invest this week? Did you serve at the funeral? Did you serve with your gifts and your talents other than what you got paid for? And I think that's important too, to, you know, if you're on the job, to be on the job. You know, he said, if you're going to do something, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Christians should be the hardest working people and most productive in the planet. He said, but also for the interest of others. So you don't look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. And so here's a key element that we can say, you know what, when I'm investing in others, we ask things like, how's your day? What I told the teachers to do this week, they're not connecting with their students. Guess what? Steve Smith called me and he said, I need you to talk to our teachers about connecting with others. I thought, here's a little school in Mill Creek, Oklahoma, and here's a college here in Oklahoma City that's saying we're having trouble with others. And so one Thursday night here in the next few weeks, I'm going to go talk to his teachers about connecting with others. Others, see, it's not... So it's not just in kindergarten, it's not just anywhere in between. It's everywhere that we have to make effort, intentional effort to connect with others. So here's something I want to give you. I've never attempted this before, and I don't know if we can get it finished today, but I was in a class a few years ago, and when I was going through the master's program, Lance Walnau is a life coach and probably one of the most successful life coaches in America, and most of you probably never heard of him, never will, unless you get into that field, but very intelligent man. And it's the first time I ever took the DISC profile. Anybody in here took the DISC profile? Okay, yeah, some of our leaders have. We went through the DISC profile. In fact, I'll give you in some of the leaders what they are, so you can kind of get a feel for this. But anyway, he said made an interesting statement when it comes to others. He said, in any given place that I'm at, in any part of the world, and he really consults and coaches, I mean, you know, powerful men and women throughout the world. And he said, there's four types of people in the room in any given situation, anywhere in the world that I'm at. In fact, he shared this with one of our presidents and some dignitaries from other countries one day, and they had him kind of break it down. But he took us through this profile, and I thought, there's four kinds of people. There's four others, if you will, in the world. Four others. And so, there's about 15 or so that you can break down that have different mixes. But what I'd like for you to do, and I started to have you just go sit in the section where you fit, but I don't think we'll have time for that. So just maybe we'll raise a hand or have you stand or something after I read each of these. But I'm going to read you a little description of what like a D for a dominance person type personality is, an I for influencer, S for steady, and a C for conscientious. So I'm going to read. I'll read you a little bit of those, and then if you think that's you, I'll have you stand. We'll do it that way, and then we'll talk about kind of what you need, the environments you need, some of your weaknesses, because here's how you deal with others, just like Jesus did. He knew Pete was a high D. He knew he was a dominant type leader, and why he would even have him put a sword on. I guess he had him strap a sword on his side because he thought maybe he would feel better. And then when he used it, he said, put it up, you know. But he had to deal with others. I mean, no, Jesus dealt with others. Jesus had to deal with the conniver, didn't he, with Judas. He had to deal with others and knowing that the guy, remember we talked about he had the treasure bag and he kept it and he dipped his hand in it. Jesus never took the bag away from him. That's how he dealt with others. Isn't that humbling yourself when you know the guy's dipping in the treasury and you don't take the bag away? Isn't that kind of humbling yourself? Because he knew something we didn't know. He knew who his source was. He knew the source wasn't in the bag. We think our source is in the checking account, savings account, or whatever, you know, and so do you, probably. It's what I make, you know, like your salary or my salary would last if recession and money was no good no longer, you know, and we'll probably live to see something like that, the way we're headed. Our source is in God, isn't it? He knew that. And so if he needed to feed 15,000, and if they found two loaves and or a few loaves and a few fish, and they fed them all. But how many knows? If they hadn't been there, he would have still been fed. He'd have fed them all. I don't know how, but I just know he would, because he did every time. Because God was his source. Okay? So he dealt with others. Now, so if this sounds like you, then I'll have you stand, okay, in one of these four categories. And here's the D. This is something that I'm a high D and a high I. So that's you know, you might have a couple here that you want to stand on too. If all of them's about, all four of them, when I read the description, if all four of them is just about across the board, you need therapy. So make an appointment tomorrow. If all four of them fit your personality today, go get therapy tomorrow, okay? You don't have a clue where you're at or what you're doing or who you are. I just wanted to illustrate that because I don't want you standing on all four, okay? And here's the thing: some of it may one or two little points may fit you in all four. I'm aware of that, but I mean there should be some dominance in here, you know, and it makes a difference. So just try to stand on one or maybe we'll rule out at the end and let you decide. Here's a D. A D is a dominant type leader. Emphasis is on shaping the environment by overcoming opposition to accomplish results. In other words, when we're a high D like me, when we're in an environment, we want to shape the environment to produce results. That's why when I go to a new addition and I usually wind up being the president of the homeowners association. This time I'm just kind of laying back and they asked me. I said I would be willing to help. They called and they said, "Well, we need a secretarial position." I said, "Well, good. Then you don't need me. I'm a leader." And they said, "Well, we might let you lead too. We could put you." I said, "No, if you don't have a need in that area, I'm fine. I don't need that right now. But I'll just tell you right now, I don't keep books. For you that can keep books and do good, I can barely balance my checkbook. That's why I don't do the church finances." Mark and others that are, you know, Jan and different ones, and then they'll give me a bottom line. And now I'm a bottom line guy. I can take the bottom line and say what we can and can't do pretty quickly because I know, you know, I've done this for 20-something years and know if you cut it too short, you're going to be stressing next week. So here's the person's tendencies includes getting immediate results. You love microwaves. You love, you know, fast. Causing action. Let's move on this. You know, accepting challenges. Making quick decisions. Questioning the status quo. I've gotten more trouble over that over the years than anything else. Well, why? One denomination said, "We're going to have to call you on the carpet if you don't quit asking why." I said, "Well, give me a clear answer and I won't ask why no more." Yeah. Taking authority, managing trouble, solving problems. Now, this person desires an environment that includes power and authority. Who's in charge? Not assumed authority. Who's in charge? And if there's no authority, then this type of person will take authority. That's just the way they are. They're not trying to be, but they just know there's no authority, there's no direction here, so they'll step in and volunteer. Prestige and challenge. Opportunities for individual accomplishments, a wide scope of operations, direct answers. High D people, you know, just stop beating around the bush. And we can take a hit, too. You know, when it's about us, just tell us what we need to hear, and we'll cry a little bit and, you know, and process. But we just hate people just beating around the bush. Just tell me what you're thinking. And we love people that's high D like us that will just tell you what they're bluntly thinking because we don't have to wonder what you're thinking. Okay? Can you tell I'm passionate about that? Opportunities for advancement. You know, what else you got? What else you got? Freedom from controls and supervision. Just tell me what you need to do. I'll do it. You don't have to look over my shoulder. I'll get it done. See? Many new and varied activities. And that's... So, everybody that thinks you're a high D and fit a lot of those qualities, stand up right now. That's funny. I got hesitant D's. That's funny. Okay? Now listen, keep standing. Just keep standing. Look at these people. Look at these people. These people need others who weigh the pros and cons. Because we say, you know what we say? Well, I thought we knew. We're going to do this, right? Here we go. And these other people are asking, well, when are we going to start? And how much is it going to cost? And where are we going? Well, I don't know. We're charge! You know, we're just headed out. Oh, did I lose some of you there? All right, well, keep standing. These persons, so they need people to weigh the pros and cons. They need people that can calculate the risk for us. Help us, you know, do that. They need people that use caution. They need people to create a predictable environment, to research the facts, to deliberate before deciding, and to recognize the needs of others. These people would be more effective. They'd be more effective if... to receive difficult assignments. I don't know what it is, but don't you love a challenge? When it's just, you know, two or three times in the church history, we thought, you know, something didn't change, we're going under. And boy, at those times it's hard, but it's like adrenaline rush, like a junkie. To understand that they need people, we do need people. To base the techniques on practical experience, they need to receive an occasional shock. You know, it just that kind of does something for it. To identify with the group. Identify with the group. To verbalize reasons for conclusions. you know, make that more clear to everybody. To be aware of existing sanctions. And that's a key thing. You know, I don't know how many times that I've stepped in and they say, we can't do that because. And I think, oh, you know. So be aware of existing sanctions. To pace self and to relax more. That's what these people need. All right, so give that to them right there. Thank you for standing today. Yeah. High D's. Now, here's the influencer. Maybe this is you. Influencer, the emphasis is on shaping the environment by influencing or persuading others. They love to talk. They love to plead their case, get people on board, tell them how it's going to be, pay them a little picture of what it's going to look like, you know, because we're talkers. You know, we can talk. And so that's part of mine as a DI. And that's a good mix if you're going to lead things as a DI, because a D, you can be blunt, and in an I, you can party about it while you're being blunt. You need to do this, I'm telling you. If you don't get this and this on board, we're not going to make it, and you're not going to make it here. But you know what? I believe in you, and we can party. Come on, high fives, you're going to make it, you know, that kind of a deal. I had a guy tell me last week, he said, I think you just reprimanded me, didn't you? And I didn't even know it. I said, that's because I got a high eye. He's been negative. He's a professor, and he's been negative about the church. And I said, I just sense you're negative about the church. Is that accurate? He said, well, no, I am today. He said, I am today. And he kind of had a hard time confessing. He said, I am today. Because he's got some good stuff he wants to get out to the church. And I said, tell me about it. He told me, but he's poking at ministries and different ones. It's doing really well. And he's struggling. And I said, you know, I couldn't partner with you if you're going to have that, you know, negative attitude. And so we talked on long, and he said, I really needed that. But that's kind of like a reprimand, wasn't it? But that felt good. That's the I coming out. D's don't have that. If you're just a D, you'll have to work on it. And I have to work on that because I am blunt. How many of you ever thought I was a little too blunt in this congregation? Let me see your hand. Nobody? Oh, just Kathy and Kisha? No. Oh, and all this section over here. Thank you for all those hands right over here. Yes, God sees that hand. All right. So I'm not as the eyes needs to improve, right? This person's tendencies, you're a high influencer. You like to party. You like to, you love people. You're people person. You love the groups. You love, you know, being. This person's tendencies include contacting people, making favorable impression, being articulate, creating a motivating environment, generating enthusiasm, entertaining people, viewing people and situations with optimism. And that's a killer, really, if you're doing business, because you always think they can do more than they can do. You always think more highly of people than they really, you think they're better than what they are. You know, and people try to take you, say, no, they're all right, and they're coming along. I say, no, they're not. So, participating in a group. You just love participating in a group. I like to participate in a group, you know. And one of the things that me and Jana, you know, I like our alone time too, but we have that in the evenings and we take our walk after work and stuff and dinner. And then I'm ready to see the group, you know, just somebody, get together with somebody. And she deals with people all day long, and she's like, I just don't deal with people anymore. And I thought, well, we're not dealing with them now. We're having fun. I need people, you know. So that's a part of our. So this person desires an environment that includes popularity, social recognition, public recognition of ability, freedom of expression, group activities outside of job, democratic relationships, freedom from control and detail, opportunities to verbalize proposals. Let me tell you. Coaching and counseling, favorable working conditions. And so this is an I. And by the way, Millie's here today, and Millie's a D as well. She's little, but she's high D. And she can be blunt. Just ask her. Okay. Now, in the I category, Kisha is I. Who else? And then I'm a high I as well, of course. And then Cindy. Cindy, is Cindy in here today? Oh, Cindy over there. You're out of your group here. Did you change sections? All right. And so she's a high I. But she has a lot of organizational skills that for an I. So I'm sure there's some C or S in there that maybe not. But she's a high I. What? You do. You're a great organizer.
All right. So all everybody thinks you might be an I. You're this kind of person. Stand up. Wow, look at that. Yeah. Okay. Now keep standing. Keep standing. This person, this is who you need. You need people. Listen to this. This person needs others who concentrate on the task, who seeks the facts, who speak directly. That's me. You need me and Millie. Who respects sincerity, because sometimes we do that. When I talked to these teachers the other day, at the end of it, I read this story. It's just a heart-jerking story, and I cry almost every time I read it. And I read it to them, and they're all crying, and then I opened it up for discussion. And they're like, and that's what I told Jen. I said, I need to rework that, because they're all crying. And so I turned it over to the superintendent, and she says, I said, okay, I'm just going to turn it back to you if there's no comment. And so after they composed themselves, well, then they had questions and input. But I didn't allow for that. I knew it was a powerful story, and it touched, but I thought, so I was laughing about it. Jan said, did you laugh? I said, well, no, a little bit, you know. But it was, you know, I thought it was funny. They respect sincerity, so I need to, you know when to laugh. Develop systematic approaches. They need people that prefer to deal with things instead of people. You know, we're people, and then to take a logical approach, to demonstrate individual follow-through. And then to be more effective, these people that are standing, to be more effective, this person needs to control time if your D or S is not high, which mine is. And then to make objective decisions, look at it from different perspectives, to use hands-on management, people that, you know, we need that. And then to be more realistic when appraising others, to make priorities and deadlines, and to be more firm with others if D is low. So that's who you need in your life. You may sit down. Okay? Now here's the steady. Here's the steady. And I love steadies. They drive me nuts, but I love them. I do. You know, Adam Dilly. Adam Dilly. Adam Dilly is our steady. He's our number one steady around here. And it's funny because Eric's a conscientious, and he drives even Eric crazy. I mean, here's a detailed man, and here's a detailed man. Detailed. And that's one of the things that steady likes is a lot of details in it. A lot of details. Got to get the details right. In fact, if you're in a meeting or if you're praising or if you're doing anything and you're not on task doing the details, then he's going to get bored and aggravated quickly. Because he's a steady. Here's the details. Here's what we're here for. Let's do this. You know, sometimes in prayer meeting, we get off on little tangents. We talk about stuff, but we usually bring it back and pray. But he just don't like that. Are we here to pray or not? I thought we come to pray. Well, yeah, that's a fact. That is a detail. But so he, you know, you just want to tell him, let's just take a chill pill or something, you know. Because that's just his makeup. That's who he is. And then his strengths. A steady emphasis is on cooperating with others within existing circumstances to carry out a task. How are we going to get it done? Here's the person's tendencies include performing a consistent, predictable manner. Performing in a consistent, predictable manner. Correct? Here's another thing. Demonstrating patience. Oh, he lost it in there, did he? Was that you, Lord, or was that Cindy? Okay. And they won't all fit you, but this is tendencies, okay? Developing specialized skills. Helping others. Showing loyalty. I can say that for him. He's been loyal. Being a good listener. Claiming, calming, exciting people. Creating a stable, harmonious work environment. This person desires an environment which includes maintenance of the status quo unless given reasons for change. Why are we doing it this way? Did I not get the memo? Predictable routines. Credit for work accomplished. Minimal work infringement on home life. Sincere appreciation. Identification within a group. Standard operating procedures, and minimal conflict. So if you're if you're S, stand. Wow. A lot of S's. Okay. You're one? Okay. Miss Nasi's hand. Now, these people that are standing, they need others who react quickly to unexpected change. Sky's falling, sky's falling. Stretch toward the challenges of accepting the task. Could be something outside the box. It's not on the schedule, but we're going to do it anyway. And Adam is becoming better at that around here. Become involved in more than one thing. This guy eats one thing on his plate at a time. He eats all of his meat. He eats all of his potatoes. He eats all of his salad. He eats all of his green beans. He needs to become more involved in eating. This person, these people need others who are self-promoting. Apply pressure on others. Work comfortably in an unpredictable environment. And I know that's really hard for you guys, but you need that. People that can do that to take up the slack. Help to prioritize work. Are flexible in work procedures. And to be more effective, these people that are standing, they need to be more effective. This person needs to be conditioned prior to change. And Eric has that as well. When Eric first came here and I'd change anything, I'd give him 2 weeks before I really got feedback. I tell people, just give him, you know, say what you need to change and then let him think about it. That's just, you know, so that's one of your traits that's really strong with you. And he does good. And sometimes he's even quit back, you know, quickly and then apologize later, because he thought about it. But that's just, so some of these will be in your, but they need a person to validate self-worth. They need people to know how personal effort contributes to the group effort. To have colleagues of similar competence and sincerity. To know the task guidelines. That's really key. To have creativity encouraged, and that's a fact as well. You may be seated. Thank you very much for your honesty. And then, like I mentioned, Eric is a C, and he is a CS actually, and both of them are not just real high, but they're on the scale up above mid range where they need to be. That really says that's where you're. But it's conscientious. And here's what it says. Also, my wife is a C. Just a lot like Eric in many ways, her work. And you love C's around because they'll follow through and they'll get stuff done. They will. You can tell them something that needs, and they'll follow through with it. And he whips out his iPhone every Sunday when we're in prayer. Here's what we prayed about. Here's what we need. You know, good follow through. But it says emphasis is on working conscientiously within existing circumstances to ensure quality and accuracy. If you misspell something, he's going to call you on it. He called me on the spelling on the board the other day. You know, I was putting them all different. He said, "You got that spell wrong on the board." I said, "I know." They'll correct your punctuation, whatever they need to correct. That's because that's what they are. They're just conscious of these things. This person's tendencies include adhering to key directives and standards. Concentrating on key details. Thinking analytically. We used to have an elder on our board I loved him so much. He was a C and I mean the whole board could just be up. We could be butting heads and just spitting or everything and he's just over there. Well, let's figure out what we're gonna do. It's like, are you hearing this? You know, well yeah, we can work on this, you know, just it's like wow. And it says thinking analytically, weighing the pros and cons. They love this. This is their personal tendencies. Being diplomatic with people, using subtle or indirect approaches to conflict, checking for accuracy, analyzing performance critically, using a systematic approach to systems or activities. Did I already read that? Okay. This person desires an environment that includes clearly defined performance expectations, values of quality and accuracy, a reserved business-like atmosphere, opportunities to demonstrate expertise, control over factors that affect their performance, opportunities to ask. And by the way, my wife is just, that is one of her absolute core values is control over the factors that's going to affect her performance. And she will get in your face if she don't have that ability, you know.
She had a good conversation with her boss just not long ago over something like that that was had taken away from her and said, well, you didn't do this. And she let him know, well, you did not give me opportunity. You know, so that was a big one for her, because if you give her something, she'll make sure it gets done if it's within her power. Opportunities to ask why questions and recognition for specific skills and accomplishments. Now, if that sounds like you, you're a C, would you please stand? Yeah, it's a pretty good balance, isn't it, in here this morning? That's maybe a few less. Okay? Now, these people that are standing, they need others who delegate important tasks, make quick decisions, use policies only as guidelines, compromise with the opposition, state unpopular positions, initiate and facilitate discussions, and encourage teamwork. They just need people that's able to do that. To be more effective, these persons, they need to have time to plan carefully. So if they're standing and you ask them something, just know they need time to plan carefully. To know the exact job description and performance objectives, to schedule performance appraisals, to receive specific feedback on performance, to respect people's personal worth as much as their accomplishments. That was the thing about our elder on the board. If the means met the end, then you know, few people's going to die. But hey, it's worth it. It's worth it. That's the way he was. I don't know if you all are that, but that's the way he was. To develop tolerance for conflict. That's so you need people that's effective in those. Thank you very much for standing. Now I don't know. You know, maybe that was good for somebody. Maybe it wasn't. So. But that's the four others. When I thought about that, and I really debated where to get, but I thought those are four others. Now, here's what I want you to take home from that: you're different, and you're like you are, and God loves you right where you are. All four of you, and if you've got traits in there that mix, He loves you right where you are. He died for you while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He loves you right there. Now, here's the key on getting along with others. Getting along with others, we got to say this, that you know what? I got to love them, number one, right where they are. Not if they'd change, not if they would, you know, if they'd just grow up, or if they'd just, you know, if they'd just stop being so mean. No, we need to love them right where they are. That's one of the things that really Jesus got on to us about. Now, loving people is different. I mean, how many knows Jesus loved everybody? He came and He died for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. So He died for everyone. He came for everyone. But it doesn't mean you approach everyone by loving them the same way. If we're dealing with a mature a Christ follower, and they're out dabbling in pornography or something that, you know, that's we know that's going to have a train wreck, you know what? We deal with them differently. When the Pharisees came in and they began to talk to Jesus, He'd look at them and He'd say, you know what? You're a snake. That's what you are. Now, how many can feel the love in that? That's how He dealt with them. And the reason He dealt with them is because in that fashion, and that's called loving them, is because they know what the Word says. They've studied and they give their life to this Word, and He knows that they know that they're hypocrites and they're not where they need to be, and they need the strong love that He gave them. And then at other times, you know, and we need to change our thought process, because when a tax collector would come, you know, named Zacchaeus, that has cheated people out of their hard-earned money, and he says, hey, come down from there. He's up in a tree looking because he's short in stature and he can't see Jesus, and he looks at him and he says, come down, I'm going to go home with you and be a guest in your house, and you're going to feed me today, and then we're going to have some fellowship. And so he pairs up with this guy right where he was, cheating everybody, a scoundrel, invites himself over to his house, and guess what the church folks, the others, are saying? I can't believe he's going home with that guy to eat dinner. Does he know who that is? And the answer is yes. He knew who it was. That's how he handled others. That's what he said. That's why he said, I'm your example. You can follow my example. And he was our greatest example ever, because he knew how to love others right where they were. We don't know how to do that. Even the church is standing over there. All his followers are standing over the side saying, I can't believe he's going home, this scoundrel. I can't believe he's... And they're talking and gossiping. And that's not the way to love others.
That's a natural tendency, by the way, is to gossip and talk when we know somebody's out doing something wrong and they won't straighten up and they're Christian and, you know, they're supposed to know better and all this kind of, you know, that's a natural tendency. But the way to love others that are doing wrong, he said, you that are spiritual, go to them in the spirit of love and restore them. Now, Jesus knew if I don't talk straight to these guys, they're not going to change. And by the way, the Bible in different places says that there were some leaders and Pharisees and scribes that did come to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ of who he was and received him. Not a lot, but some did, but that's what he used for them. Now, for the scoundrels, what did he do? He used unconditional love. He'd meet them right where they were in their own personal discernment, where they were walking. He'd meet them right where they were, and he'd love them right there. Let me ask you something. Is the crowd around you as big as it was around Jesus? It's not around around me personally. Why do people not want to throng to us and be around us and seek our counsel and seek what we have? It's because we're not loving others like Jesus did. That's why. And I'm not trying to scold us. I'm just trying to grow us a little bit. To say, you know what, as an average, there should be people that's calling us and seeking us because they know when they come, they're not going to get judged anymore. They're just going to get the love of God. And they're going to get the truth that will set them free. Jesus knew truth looked different from Pharisees and scribes that knew the Word of God and weren't living it than it did for a man that's over here walking in darkness and he's trying to get free. He made effort to see him. And by the way, Zacchaeus could have said, I don't think so, preacher. You know, Rabbi, you go on down the road, but you're not going home with me today. I'm busy. How many knows he had that option? We never think about that because the story goes that he accepted Christ. But on another occasion, where there's a rich young ruler, he invites him to come and follow him. And what does he do? He turns him down and walks away shaking his head. But you know what? He gave him the truth, and at least he loved him and gave him the truth. And that's what we're supposed to be, dealers in truth. Dealers in truth. As we give the truth, we'll see people set free. So wherever you are and whatever you need, and hopefully you took some of these. And by the way, you can go online and get these. It's just called the DISC, D-I-S-C, Classic Personal Profile System. So if you just go D-I-S-C, you can order these. They're about like $15 or so. And take that if you'd like. Use it. I think it'd be good to use it for your home, for wherever you want to. You know, if you're having some problems, because it really tells you at your work, man. I really encourage you to use it at work if your company would do that, because it gives you an opportunity to know the people around you, and knows that if you don't have certain kind of environments, you know what it did for me is Eric and Adam, man. It gave me appreciation for your gifts. Really, is what it did. You know, because I worked closely with them on preaching and teaching and the running of Sunday service, And so after we took this, I put Adam, I said, man, would you just be in charge of the Sunday service? Because he likes a list. We don't usually have that much going on, but he wants his list, you know, and he knows what's going on. And I thought, well, why would I? Because I just know I'm preaching. That's all I really need to know on Sunday, right? I look back at Spencer, and if his dad's giving the list, then Spencer gives me the nod, and I go forward. That's all I need to know about Sunday service. That's all I want to know. Because I've come to use my D and my I to influence and to preach and teach and use my call. So just, I know if we need to get something out, information, and get it out, I know Eric's just going to pick it up and print it and put it up here and do all that stuff. And I know if we need sound and we need the visuals and stuff, we've got a crew that do. And it's beautiful, isn't it? If we need prayer warriors, we know who to call, you know. If we need a hospital, we know who to call. You know, and using all of our gifts and doing that and loving each other. But the others is what I'm concerned about today. It's the others. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one to another. Isn't that amazing? That's how he told us we'd know. Everybody would know that we really belong to God. Not when we were so spiritual or we were so, but when we just loved each other. He said, people's going to know. I think that's why they thronged Jesus, was because they just knew he's just going to love them. And that's how the people that came to him knew he belonged to God. Even the ones that didn't would say stuff like, well, how could he do all this if he doesn't belong to God? You know, they were scratching their head, and they couldn't discard the obvious that he's touching people everywhere he goes. People's getting healed and set free, and thieves are becoming honest and fulfilled and giving now instead of taking, and all these people are being transformed, and even the ones that didn't come
couldn't argue about his love for others, could they? To love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what we're going to do with others. Even if they're your enemy, you're going to love them, right? Sometimes others, and your enemy is right in your own family, isn't it? Get off into things and drugs and steal and cheat and lie and break your heart. So, we're always going to deal with others. They say it's really easy. Just love them. Love them right where they are. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that life is about dealing with others on a daily basis. Some days it's pleasant and it's good because others are nice and kind and we love them. We have a good relationship. And a lot of days we deal with others that just get on our nerves and we don't know what to do with them. And so thank you for reminding us today that, you know what, this is what we do with others, whether a neighbor or an enemy, just love them. Love, you said, covers a multitude of sin. And so thank you. Love is powerful. Help us, Lord, to take ourselves and lower ourselves in situations where we have pride and we get puffed up and we try to push back instead of just submit ourselves and to humble ourselves. So forgive us, Lord, for operating in pride and arrogance and ego and looking at others through those eyes. Help us to humble ourselves and to be able to look at others as you look at others that are hurting people, that hurting people hurt people, and they need us. And we need to love them back to health. So help us to use that tool on a daily basis, in a regular way in our life. Give us the strength and the power to do that. And we ask for this strength and power and hope today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all the church said, amen.